stay connected to the Father and continue to grow. Because if we don't do these things to help us to stay spiritually grow, the worries, the cares of life itself will choke our spiritual growth and will stunt our growth also. Then we are, when we are concerned about other people and we are to pray for them and all, there's many things that the Lord has assigned us to do, and he wants us to do it. And like I say, prayer is one of the things for others that we are to do. But we're supposed to carry the cross, but not the weight of it. And in saying that with me, we are not supposed to get so caught up in the cares of the world that it chokes us, the word, and stunt us from continuing to move forward to help us to lose our focus. And it's in 1 Peter 5:7. I want to read that because it's and I don't think we are really understand how quick and how easy that we can get choked on things that concerns us, because without even realizing it, if we let it get too heavy, we won't even be able to say a prayer for ourselves. And when we get to a place that we are disconnected from the Father, then we're not able to help those that he sends to us or that send us to. So the scripture tells us that we are to cast all our cares upon him, but he cared for us. That again, it's 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And it tells us, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking may devour. And we know that's the enemy doing his job. And we have to stay focused, stay connected, or we will become distracted. And when we're distracted by the things that concerns us, then we are choked and we don't continue to grow spiritually. So you have to know how to pull the weeds out, of the weeds of worry out of our life. That we have to go daily. There's things that we will have to do daily. There's concerns that we will have. But you want to be concerned about the things around us, but not to worry about. In Philippians 4:6-7, he tells us that we are to be careful for nothing, or worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And verse 7 say, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if we lose our peace, then we're not able to be where God can speak to us and we hear him and know what to do to help somebody else. So we have to stay in a place where we have developed the spirit, the fruit of the spirit in our lives, so that when we are needed to help somebody, we will be able to be yielded vessels, and God can speak, be able to hear, and then we'll be able to obey him. Now, I don't think we spend a lot of time thinking about it, but we need to, because if we're not in the place we need to be, if the love is not operating in us, how can we help somebody else walk in love? How, the fruit of spirit, I'm going to read that, because we need to, every now and then, we need to go over it. I know we know them, but probably should know it by heart, but we want to continue to look at it, because that way, the thing that we need to understand is that our strength comes from having the fruit fully developed in us. The spiritual strength that we need to be vessel that God used to help build the kingdom. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:20-22, it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And temperance means self-control. Now, can you see how that if you are not walking and these things are not fully developed in you, how you can't help somebody else that needs to know what it is that they need to be operating in? Hello?
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure you was hearing me. But we need to stay connected to the vine, and in so doing, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be operating in us, and we're going to be able to help other people. So, but we have to have the joy. We have to have love operating in us, joy, peace, long suffering. You know, there's a lot of people that God may have us working with that we have to be long suffering, walk with them, you know, with patience and deal with them. And it may not be the easiest thing to do, but the Lord will allow us to have the patience that we need to help them through if that's our assignment. And so the assignments that He gives us, even praying for people, those that are sick and those that are suffering and those that have lost their jobs, their homes, and all the things that's going on right now that we see around us, it can get so heavy that you won't even be able to pray for yourself. And if you can't pray for yourself, you will not be able to help anyone else. And but we have to realize that He will help us to stay in our place and stay the course and do the assignment He gives us when we stay connected to Him. We have to, you know, you cannot tell anyone else about joy if you don't have any yourself. If you're not operating in love, if hatred and bitterness and envy and malice is operating in your heart, then you will not be able to tell someone else to love their neighbors or even love their husband or their wife or their children. And that's something I wish we could do more teaching on in Titus, where the scripture tells us that we're supposed to teach young women, especially, say, where it talks about women and men, but we're supposed to teach them how to love love their children, love their husband. And I can tell you, when the Lord gave me that the first time, He gave it to me, and I had six children of my own, and I also had a husband, and I love my husband, I love my children. And when He gave me that scripture as a foundational scripture in ministry, I thought, well, you know, who have to tell the mother to have a children? But now I know, as I see what's happening now, that we have even dropped the balls along the way, because so many mothers are walking away from children, fathers walking away from children, and somewhere or another, they didn't get the memo that they were supposed to love their children, love their husband, love their wife, and that's that thing that you can't do if you're not walking in it yourself. You cannot tell another person to love their spouse if you're not loving yours. If you can say it, there's no effect in the words that you are speaking. And so, but when we walk in the word, you know, as God give it to us, and we stay spiritually connected, there is power that flows through us, that when we speak the words that He gives us, it makes a difference to the one that's hearing. That, you know, it has a different effect on the hearer. And that's what we're supposed to do. So we know if we allow the things of the world to get us to a place where we're disconnected from the Father, then we're not any good to Him in ministry. And that's every one of us are supposed to be helping to build the kingdom. And in order to do that, then we have to know how to pray for circumstances and situations, people, and because He tells us to pray for leaders, You know, we pray for the people around the world. We're not supposed to pick and choose. It's just the assignment that he give us. We're supposed to obey him and do it. But we can't get weighted down with what it is that's happening that you don't like about that person or that situation or, you know, the country that, you know, that he may tell you pray for a nation and you're not really pleased. Like, well, for Russia, I'll say Russia, and I may shouldn't say it, but, you know, I don't think any of us is happy with what's going on in Russia right now. But that has nothing to do with the assignment that God gives us to pray for leaders, and that includes Putin. And so when we're supposed to be able to cast off the care of it and yet obey the Father and fulfill the assignment. And we can only do that if we know how to pull the weeds and worry out of our own life. Then we'll be able to stay focused and free and help someone else. So there are going to be situations, and it's not getting any better because as the scripture tells us, as Christ get closer to time for Christ to return, things are going to get worse, and it's actually going to start, it says, at the house of worship, the place of worship. So those that we worship with, that we think should have our back, sometimes it may be that they become our worst enemy, because if they're not walking where they need to walk with the Lord, they're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit in operation in their life as it should be. So they're not going to, love is not going to be flowing, and they're not going to have joy, because the weight of the world is going to pull all the joy and peace out of it. But we have to know how to stay in the Word, and no matter, and it's the safest place that we can get is in the Word. And if we do it daily, then there'd be no gap, no place for the enemy to come in and tear down the spiritual life that God has built in us, that we can be a vessel that he can use for his glory and his honor. That the work we need to do, because the scripture tells us to work out our salvation, but it's not like that we have to earn it, because Christ already paid the price for it. So we can't earn it. We can't earn it, but we can obey God and follow his instruction and do what he tells us to do when he send us to people and places and to do certain things and to open, you know, like share the gospel with someone that maybe have not yet heard or not yet accepted if they heard, then as somebody that have been walking with the Lord and have walked away. And he said he married to the backslider, but sometimes we want to bury the backslider instead of helping them find their way back to Christ. And that's not the way for the word. He said the scripture tells us that we're supposed to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But we're not supposed to carry the weight of the cross. We are, because he already paid the price, and he, the Holy Spirit, makes sure that the weight is, we don't feel the weight of it. Because, you know, as an intercessor, that's one of the callings of my life, as an intercessor praying for people, and with all that's going on now, all the sickness, the shooting, the killing, all the corruption and stuff, if I tried to carry the weight of that, I wouldn't be able to stand up. I wouldn't be able to say a prayer for myself. And the minute you can't pray for yourself, the scripture tells us that the enemy, Satan as a roaring lion, is seeking whom we may devour. He's not omnipresent, so he's not everywhere. But he do have assignment too. And if his assignment, or if sent somebody, that is, their assignment is pull you off focus, if you open the door a little bit and he's able to get a toe in that to distract you, then he will continue to work at it until he get the whole foot in and pull you completely off focus, off course. And the scriptures say don't look to the left nor to the right, but that the Lord will say, you will hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way. Go to follow this. This is the way. You don't have to see nothing. You don't have to see the plain path. You just be obedient to God and follow his voice, is leading of the Holy Spirit, and you will always be where you're supposed to be and able to do what you're supposed to do, that your work that he's given you, you will be able to complete it. And the thing, only way to do that again is daily search ourselves to make sure that the weeds of worry is not choking our spiritual growth, and that we are able to continue. And we do have to grow daily. We die daily in the flesh, but we have to grow daily in the spirit man in order to stay connected to the vine, the Father, that we can hear what we need to hear from him and be able to have what we need, the authority that has been given to us. But we have to make sure that we are walking in obedience to the voice of the Lord in order to use that authority. And that's another teaching. But if we stay, it's in Proverbs 3:5-6 that it tells us not to lean to our own understanding. Sometimes the way we might be handling things, we think is right. But is that a good way, or is that God's way? And we need to make sure that we know the difference between a good way and God, because a good way will lead us to out of the path of righteousness, and we have to stay in the path of righteousness, stay connected to the Father. And again, it tells us in Matthew 6:33 that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right standing with God. We will keep us from giving in to the enemy in any form, anyway, at any time. And that is how we keep ourselves, so that when God speak to us, that we just have to say, "Here am I, Lord, and send me." And then if God is sending us, he most certainly going to tell us what it is he wants us to do. And he will allow us to be able to stay focused and complete the work, each assignment. God will not give us assignment two until we have completed assignment one. Sometimes it may not be really what we want to do, but sometimes we may have us behind the scenes, but we want to be out front. And sometimes it may be vice versa. You don't want to be out front, but if God is saying you are a leader, then he equipped you to be a leader. You can't operate in any other position except a leader. And it's only the obedience is sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can give up everything, but you are not walking obedient to God. It is of no avail. So if we continue to look at ourselves and make sure that the weeds of worry, of the things, the cares of this world, that's actually another term we can use for that, is not choking us and causing us to lose the anointing that's upon our life and lose the ability to obey God and be beneficial to him in kingdom building. I pray that you heard something tonight that helped you to go back to the word and do the, read the scriptures. Matthew chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 5, of course Philippians chapter 4, read Titus, that will tell us about that we need to do, things that we need to do. And he said Titus 2, verse 4. Now let me go up to verse 2. I'm coming to a close with what I'm saying tonight. That verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sober, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chastened, keepers of at home, good, obedient, not blasphemous. And the same thing for young men. But it seems like we have walked away from our responsibility to teach the young people what they're supposed to do. And it goes even back to the Old Testament, when we are supposed to, the words that teach it, when you sit down to eat, when you lay down. And right now, it's like a generation is being missed that have not even heard what the Bible say about obeying parents and the thing that we're supposed to do in order to be in the will of the Father. Anything that's not in the will of God will not be credited to us. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be doing this struggling and doing a lot of things on the earth and get no credit for it in heaven. I want to stay in the will of the Father, be obedient to the Father, so that all that I do will be as unto the Lord. And that's what we need to seek to work for, is to make sure that what we're doing, God is getting the glory. Thank you again. Pull out the weeds so that worry don't choke you. The cares of this world don't take your life, the scripture life from you. And you will continue to be victorious in Christ. Back to you, Robert.
Excuse me, Titus 2, and what was the verses?
Titus chapter 2, I read verses down, verse 2 down to 4 or 5, I think. But you can read that whole chapter.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, sister, mute your phone for a minute. Let me see what that's your phone doing there.
Me?
Yeah, mute yours for a minute. Okay, is Tina on now?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're going to have to do a 30-second or sooner, whichever one you like to do.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's someone at the phone, so check your phone if you're not on mute, if you're not speaking. Please mute your phone.
Okay, I lift my hands and talk in adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Tina. God bless you for selection.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we're going to go ahead and open the line up for any person. Remember, do not speak in your phone.
I would just like to ask for prayer for my nephew. This is Tina. Isaac Devon Wilkes III. It has been said that he may be going through depression. And if you would just lift him up in prayer. And I know that he also has suffered in the past from anxiety. So I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking that you do the same with me in prayer. Thank you.
Okay.
What was his name? Isaac Wilk.
Thank you.
I have asked for prayer for Joseph Johnson, who's suffering with cancer, terminal cancer. Thank you.
Yes, this is Frances Clark. I'd like to thank the prayer team for praying for me. I had my biopsy, and I thank God that everything came out all right, which I was looking for. I asked the Lord for no pain during the biopsy, and he did just that. And I just give him praise and thank you all for praying for me.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Oh, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish Reverend Richardson a very happy birthday. For those of all that don't know.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And many more. Many, many more.
Amen. I would like to wish happy birthday to Vanita Burwell this past Friday.
Happy birthday. Good afternoon to everybody.
Good afternoon.
And I want to say, you know what, God can do. I think this is Cloud. I'm here in Florida. I thank God for bringing me through. Had open heart surgery on the 6th of May. But I can say, thank you, Jesus, to thank God. I went in the hospital for one surgery, was getting ready to come home, and I had to go back to another surgery. But look at God. God still doesn't heal people, no matter what the situation may be, whatever the doctor may say, but God still is a healer, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for y'all praying for me.
Yeah.
You can see the results. For the Bible says the prayers of the righteous man do avail as much. Don't get quiet on me. And he says that where there's two or three touching and agreeing, he's going to be in the midst.
Yeah.
I trust God for whatever. I trust God. No matter what, I still trust God. And I'm asking prayers for, I have a brother that my, next to me, I'm about 4 years younger than I am. He got to have the same surgery on tomorrow. And pray for my new baby brother. He's in rehab. He's been having some health issues. But I'm asking y'all to pray for them. And let's continue praying for my whole family, the Mitchell family. Continue praying for that God is our keeper, and we got to know who he is. And that Pastor Richardson said, let's pull no weeds out of our life that's going to choke us out.
Oh, amen. Yeah, this is Linda Johnson. I'm asking you all to pray for me. I've been going through some things, but I know that God is able because he's already working on me. And something that has come to my mind of what it could be. I'm not going to say that God, saying everything, but I know how the devil works, and the devil don't like you, and the devil try to do things to stop you. But I'm here to tell that devil you're a liar. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people in your face but hate you and do things to you. But I know God sees everything, and I know he knows everything, so I put my trust in him. He tell us not to put our confidence in man, but to put our confidence in him. And that's where I am standing on his word. And I thank God for where he brought me from and where he's taking me to. And I give him all the glory and praise. And also, I would like to invite each and every one on Saturday, June the 1st at 10 a.m. I will be graduating from the first MDT graduation at 10 a.m. Saturday. So all those that could come, I'm inviting you all to come. And I thank God for each and every one of you, and I thank God for the prayer. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you,
so we get all the phones muted again. It's not speaking.
Say that again.
We need to get all the phones. If you're not speaking, mute your phone, please. We're getting this background noise again, and we don't know, can't point out exactly who it is. So if we all mute, we won't have that noise unless you're speaking.
Well, this is Lorraine. I'd like to ask to continue prayer for my brother-in-law. He's still in rehab. They haven't said yet when he's going to come home, but he seems to be doing good. When I went up the other day to see him, he was doing good. So just continue praying for Donald Holder.
Okay. Okay. No more input updates. But next week, our opening prayer will be done by Virginia Brown. Our 32nd will be done by Gracie Jordan. And we'll go right into roll call now.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. If there's no mistake, there was 38 people on the line last week, and we thank God for each and every one. And at this time, we're going to roll call. Lee in Virginia, here. Dennis and Sandy.
Here.
Richard and Willamette.
Here.
Janet. Danny and Juanita.
Yeah.
Robin and Portia.
Here.
Here.
Oli. Rep. Glorious.
Here.
Rev. Maddie. Pastor Burwell.
They must be on mute.
Gracie, Tia, Sandra,
here,
Linda Hodge,
here,
Deborah Bradford,
here,
Barbara,
here,
Linda,
here,
Deborah Jackson,
here,
Lorraine Jones.
Here.
Ken and Carolyn. Chris and Dorothy.
Here.
Josephine.
Here.
Carolyn.
Here.
Charlotte.
Here.
Renee. Tangela, here, Darius,
here,
Kamari,
here,
Cynthia, Tim,
here,
Tina Strong,
here,
Todd,
here,
Tonda,
here.
Here. Miss Jessie.
Here.
Wanda. Rana. Francis.
Here.
Michael. Tanya White, Fran,
Lisa, here.
Did I miss anyone?
Mari.
Okay, thank you.
Can you add Shanti?
Shanti,
here.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Praise God. Okay, back to you, Uncle Robert.
Thank you. Okay, I'll close in. Brad, we're going to be done by Sandy Yelverton. We're going to turn right over to her.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you on this evening, O God. So grateful, Father, for another family Bible study, O God. We thank you for speaking to our hearts on tonight, putting, O God, your word deep in our soul. We're so grateful for your word is everything to us, O God. You are everything to us, more than enough. Oh, blessed be your name. Great I am, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, we just thank you that we could bring all our prayers, all our concerns, questions, oh God, to you, to your throne room. We bow at your feet, oh God, humbly before you. Father, we just lay all these requests before you, all those spoken on tonight, oh God, for Isaac, oh God. We speak life into him, joy, your peace, oh God. We come against the spirit of depression and anxiety. That is not his portion, oh God. We thank you for pouring into him. For Joseph Johnson, oh God. Father, you have the final say, the final word, oh God. We curse cancer at the root, oh God. In Jesus' name, we call him healed, oh Father, inside and out. For Sister Frances, oh God, we praise you with her, oh God, for her negative biopsy report, oh God. Nobody but you, Father, touching each and every one of us. And we celebrate, oh God, Pastor Burwell and Reverend Richardson's birthday, oh God, that you have blessed them to have another one, oh God, and you will continue to bless them with many, many more, oh God. Blessed be your name. We thank you and praise you, oh God, with Brother Clyde, oh God, for bringing him through his surgeries, oh God, for touching his body, oh God. We thank you for his continued recovery and restoration, oh God. That, oh, Father, his heart is going to be better than before, oh, God. Do a work in him, oh, God. We lay his two brothers at your feet, oh, God, for the upcoming surgery. Father, we thank you that this will be successful as well. And his brother will, oh, God, that you will use everyone in his care in the rehab, oh, God. The entire Mitchell family fall fresh upon him, oh, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your hedge of protection being around Minister Johnson, oh, God. Be that guard, oh God. Guard her mind, body, soul, and spirit. We thank you for guidance, oh God, through everything that she, oh God, is endeavoring to do, oh God. And we celebrate, oh God, the graduation, oh God. Blessed be your name for falling on your people, oh God, bringing them through everything, every step of the way. And we thank you, oh Father, for Donald Holder, oh God. Thank you for his healing, oh God. We just praise you, Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. You are the God who gives us peace, strength, oh God, guidance, oh God. Everything we need, oh Father, we are continuing to look to you, oh God, for it all, oh God. You're the solid rock of our foundation, oh God. We just bless your holy name. We lift up every unspoken request, every family on the line, oh God. We just praise you, oh God. You know us better than we know ourselves, oh God. And we just, oh Father, are again so grateful for you being Lord of our lives and Lord of our situations. And we thank you always for your most perfect answer at your most perfect time. For you are perfect in all your ways. You are sovereign, oh God. You are, oh God, omnipotent and omnipresent. And we just praise you. We love you. Oh God, commit these prayers to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line tonight. We look forward to having everyone back. We're going to say good night to everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Happy birthday. Good night.